Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin, I play with two.
And today we are joined by George, aka Goof GG. George, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Happy to be a guest on a Pokemon podcast for the first time, I guess.
Is this your first?
Yeah, it's my first.
Oh my gosh.
That's... First time on a podcast, actually.
Really? Okay, wow. Okay. So George Goof GG at Goof is probably known by most as being one of the top Unite players globally right now. Last I saw, you were like, what, number five on the ladder? Is that right?
Yeah, I think my team has all... Like all five of the top spots right now.
Yeah, your team has the whole thing. That's crazy. Tell me a little bit about your team, the people on your team.
Okay, so our team is built up of a bunch of ex-HOTS players, and I knew Indy before HOTS, but we all pretty much met each other in Heroes of the Storm. That's like a Blizzard game.
Right.
It's another MOBA, another short form kind of MOBA. At least historically, HOTS games are kind of shorter than League and Dota games, but you know. Similar game to Pokemon Unite. I think it has something to do with our success.
Yeah.
And that it's short, the different maps have different objectives. But anyway, Lutano was on a professional Heroes of the Storm team. That's our Lucario player. He's kind of like our off laner. I guess that's how you would describe it. He's kind of like a League of Legends top lane. Zugrug was the tank player for his Heroes of the Storm team, and he's our tank player in Pokemon Unite. Then we have Indy, who's like he one-tricked support to rank one on the Heroes of the Storm ladder. And he's playing our support again in Pokemon Unite. And I just played random stuff in HOTS. And Toon Slim, Toon got W on the ladder, I guess. He's just like a solo queue player in Heroes mostly. But he played to rank 1 on the EU ladder as well in solo queue.
Wow. Wow.
So
lots of high ranking people, even in HOTS. Do you find that Heroes of the Storm has a like pretty easy overlap to Pokemon Unite? I know a lot of people compare it to like Dota or to League of Legends, but now that you mention Heroes of the Storm, it kind of does feel like a lot more similarities are in that one.
Yeah, so my background is originally Dota. Mm-hmm. I was a top 50 Dota player in like, I don't know, it must be like 2015, 2016, around like the time of TI3, TI4. Heroes has the most overlap for sure, to answer your question, with Pokemon Unite of the games I've played. It's like it feels like battle righty kind of and Heroes of the Stormy, if I had to say. Sure. There's healers, right? The healing characters do a relevant amount of healing. It's not like, you know, League of Soraka, but her main thing is not that she heals you, you know. I mean, to an extent, in lane, I'm not a League expert, but you know, your health bars move both directions in Pokemon Unite. Especially when you start to account for the buddy barriers and all this stuff. And people can still get like kind of killed instantly in a team fight with coordination, but it's not like League of Legends where you have like Kha'Zix jumping around one-shotting people or Dota where a late game carry just like stun locks you to death and everyone else is just kind of the supporting cast watching it happen.
Right.
So yeah, I think especially because the objective style of the Heroes of the Storm maps, Pokemon Unite and Heroes of the Storm have the closest overlap of the MOBA games I've played.
Interesting. Now I want to hear this from your words, because you mentioned Dota, you mentioned HOTS. Can you tell me your story starting from like when you decided to get into just MOBAs in general, all the way up to when you started playing Unite, all the way up to how you ended up to be one of the top global players?
Okay, so I'm in my mid to late 20s right now, and this will be a long story if I tell the whole story, but... on Warcraft 3, like 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
There's custom maps, yeah, and I just played the custom maps I like. And I remember getting really competitive in, like these, like, anime custom maps where you like, Goku fights, I don't know, Naruto or whatever, right? Yeah. And people on these Warcraft 3 custom maps. And, you know, I got, like, we would get really competitive on those and be, like, people would play them and they'd be, like, ah, you couldn't win at Dota, you know? And then... I started playing Dota. I got baited.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, from then on, I've always been really competitive. I grew up playing games with my dad. And then I like during the day, my parents kind of like dropped me at a card shop, you know, like a local game store.
Totally.
And so I do that in the daytime. And I come home and I play computer games at night. I never did my homework and I would stay up all night playing games. And then it's the same thing the next day, you know, card games all day, video games all night. And I guess the path for MOBA games, it'd be like the Warcraft 3 story I just told you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Heroes of New Earth comes out. I play Heroes of New Earth, some StarCraft 2.
Han. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. That takes me back.
I mean, I have like a WoW, like I'm good at WoW Arena as well. I've never finished a season of WoW Arena, but I'm always playing like top of the ladder when I play WoW Arena.
Cool.
What else is there? I played some League. I'm a casual League player, I'd say. I don't know what any of the champions do besides Anivia. I'm an Anivia one trick on League.
Fair.
I think I got like Diamond or something on League. I'm a master TFT player. It's just, you know, I play...
You know, a casual Diamond player.
That's just built different.
the casual Diamond.
I was ranked one recently on Eternal Return Black Survival for a little while. That's like a Battle Royale MOBA game.
Getting top ranked on games I haven't even heard of, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's a big one. That's where Averse's team is from as well. Wow. If you know like Rin and Averse, those guys played that game as well. That's where we all know each other from.
Okay.
But also these guys are Battle Royale, because I played a little bit of Battle Royale. When Battle Royale came out, I got high ranked on that as well. I think it's not like these are separate achievements though, you know what I mean? At some point you build up the skills that transfer, but we talked about HOTS being similar to Pokemon Unite.
Mm-hmm.
You build up the skills and they just carry over from game to game. So in a way, it's not like a new achievement every time, you know, as much as I like to think, wow, I'm just basically playing the same game with different abilities every time, you know, and slightly different macro goals. I'm probably answering questions you haven't asked yet, so I'll slow down. But
no, I love that. I love that. Go ahead, please.
I did notice a bunch of games here, and Pokemon wasn't mentioned at all. Do you have like a background in Pokemon, or is Pokemon Unite just be like, hey, look, it's a new MOBA, let me try it?
Yeah, was that okay, what so brought you in?
I mean, I played some Pokemon TCG.
Okay,
like
so you
I said,
have
I grew
experience.
Up in like a local game store where like, you know, card games all the time, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, things like that. And I played, actually, I was addicted to Net Battle in the Fire Red, Leaf Green era of Pokemon singles. I remember my whole lineup from Net Battle. It must have been, it's Fire Red, Leaf Green. So I remember like, I don't know what year it was, but I was like in high school, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I was addicted. I would come home and play Net Battle every time I was in queue for like, I mean, telling the story, it kind of paints a picture of me pretty well, right? I'd be like in queue for a game of Dota and I'd be playing Net Battle.
Yeah.
in between, right? And that's...
Kind of like how people these days will go and like load up a game of Hearthstone while they're waiting in queue for a League game or Dota game or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been like this with games a whole lot. Pokemon, I have definitely a soft spot in my heart for Pokemon. I've played some of the, I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but every time there's like a third party Pokemon MMO or something, I play that. You know,
I get it. Yep.
Oh, I'm a Pokemon enthusiast for sure. The last
Got
time
into
I played
Temtem
the card
a little,
game.
You know?
Yeah, I played Temtem. I was, when there was no ranked in Temtem and there's only the Discord ranked, I was rank one in the Temtem Discord.
Sky.
Very. I remember
put
my
that
Temtem
in your
lineup
Twitter
as well.
Bio.
I was playing a Valash setup on Temtem.
Okay.
I copied from somebody else.
Wow.
I don't remember which server it was, but you know there was like the bot and it made the ranked games?
Mm-mm-mm.
Man, Temtem was a lot of fun. I got a little burned out on it though, to be honest.
Are they not bringing it, like upgrading it or bringing it somewhere? I forget. Is it not coming to Switch?
I don't know. Isn't it daunting trying to go back to a strategy game like that, though, knowing how behind you are in the metagame developments and stuff? I think about that all the time. So I'm afraid to get into VGC as well. There's like 900 Pokemon or something, right? It's intimidating.
Yeah. It's very intimidating.
Only a handful of them are good, though.
Yeah. There's that, and plus the learning curve of everybody else who's been playing for years and years. Like you're still playing against world champions from like 2014, 2013, people who just haven't quit, and they're still that good. And in the same kind of way as your skills have transferred from all the way from Heroes of New Earth, Warcraft 3 custom maps, their skills transfer from, you know, Pokemon mainline game to Pokemon mainline game. So it's interesting to kind of see the parallels there. Let's talk a little bit about Pokemon Unite specifically though, because that's what we're all here for. In that game, you said that do you have a main Pokemon that you play or a set of Pokemon that you play?
So typically I play bottom lane with, in each lane in Pokemon Unite, you need a Pokemon that secures the last hits in the lane. Mm-hmm. So like your Snorlax, your Lucario, your high damage, single move kind of last hitting Pokemon. Then you have usually teams are playing one support. It's a little like difficult for me to talk about this because we also set the meta, you know. So I'm saying teams do this, but it's sometimes it seems copying what we do, right? But that being said, ignoring that factor, teams like usually have one support, and then there's one other guy on the team. So you need two last hitters, the support in the top lane, and then you need one more guy. He's usually like a mage character, you know, someone that does like burst damage, or he's strong in the early game at the first Dreadnought fight without too many levels. That's my role on the team. I'm that guy. So the Alolan Ninetales, sometimes in some metagames people are playing Venusaur, you know, like people are trying that out. Cramorant is the one I'm known for playing. We kind of brought that into the meta. And yeah, I'm that guy on the team. I go bottom with the Snorlax or whatever, and I'm the mage guy.
Interesting. So scoring those last hits. I noticed there was a very specific strategy that I've seen you do that I don't think I've seen anybody else do, that you and your team does, where you'll skip the second APOM in your intro, like walking toward the lane. Is there a specific reason why you do that?
Okay, so we invented like Cramorant going to bot. You know, it's picking a character going bottom. It's not this huge brain blast maneuver we came up with, right? everyone else was playing Ninetales, okay? And we figured out that like if you're really efficient walking to lane with Cramorant, Snorlax, you can basically get to the contested middle Audino. Am I saying that right? Hopefully. In the bottom lane before the Snorlax and Ninetales can contest it. At least that the way people were clearing before. So we figured that out, and we were doing all the monkeys still. We're not up to the part yet where we skipped the monkey, okay? But people started to think that we were skipping the monkey to get there so fast. So people started skipping the monkey and they started beating us there, and then we had to start skipping the monkey. The APOM. Sorry guys, sorry.
No, you know what? I really like the short notion of skip the monkey. I'm a fan of that. Okay. And so you've kind of set that in your own way. And the way that I've seen that play out, it hasn't really shown you to lose any experience. I mean, you're getting that APOM later anyway. But you're anything to get to that middle Audino faster, before the other teams, you're getting that extra, advantage over the other team. And sometimes I've even seen you like take full advantage of that and end up at their, Audinos or their Audinos before they even get there, able to get like such a leg up on them. I like that.
Yeah, Cramorant's not the best at invading the other team's side. Like, he's no Ninetales when it comes to bullying the other team, but if you get bot way ahead, you can definitely try it. The thing about Whirlpool, like Cramorant's like ground circle AoE ability, is that, say, so in Pokemon Unite, when you're trying to secure the experience from a Pokemon, you have to last hit it, right?
Yes.
And so my Snorlax is my last hitter guy, right? And the other team has maybe a Snorlax, maybe a Wigglytuff, whatever. It's irrelevant. Their spells do roughly the same amount of damage, their moves, right? But if there's like a high tick rate, decent damage move, like Whirlpool on the ground, my Snorlax can miss by like, you know, 0.4, 0.3 of a second. And if he goes a little early, my Whirlpool's going to get it afterwards. And so when your Snorlax is there, it puts a lot of pressure, right? Because the other team has to time it basically perfectly, because my Snorlax has a little bit of leeway. It's like it almost adds damage to his move in a way that it's ticking so fast, right? And the other thing is that even if my Snorlax is not with me on their side, if I put the Whirlpool down and it's just, you know, spinning there, the if it will die before the end of my Whirlpool, because the pressure's kind of on them to time it properly to last hit it, right?
Right.
If they miss by even a little bit, you steal it. Then at level 4, Cramorant gets Hurricane, which is like a super long range. It's not like a full, it's not like a Snorlax tackle worth of damage, but it's pretty good for when your opponents aren't expecting it, stealing a Pokemon from long range for experience.
Right. Interesting. Now, I usually see you in your streams practicing your fives. Yeah, everybody's on comms, everybody's on Discord or whatever, playing with each other. Do you see any merit in Pokemon Unite of playing solo queue versus playing as fives, or is it more or less the same game?
What do you mean by merit? Like
playing without comms. Obviously, it's better to be playing with the four other people. You're able to talk and coordinate and do all that. Is coordination like a major, major factor in Pokemon Unite compared to other games?
In any competitive game, you need to talk to your team. You're at a disadvantage, especially. There's one thing about Pokemon Unite that's makes comms a really big advantage. Mm. And it's the fact that this might be true for other mobile MOBAs as well. I don't have any experience with mobile MOBAs, but your camera is more locked, right? Like you can pan, and we all pan our cameras obsessively, my teammates, if you ever watched our streams, but you don't have as much information. On Dota, my camera's like almost never on my hero, right?
Right.
On Pokemon Unite, it's basically stuck on my hero. And so there's a big advantage to being able to talk to your teammates, telling them what's happening on the other parts of the map. And, you know, even in the fight, like, speaking to each other is more critical than it is in other games because of the forced locked camera. That being said, you can practice in solo queue. Like, this is a narrative you hear in a lot of games when people struggle to climb solo. They will make any explanation for why solo queue is not good practice, why solo queue is bad. Most of us have never held a controller in our hand and played a MOBA before. So if you don't think you can practice in solo queue and you're looking at yourself playing a MOBA with a Switch controller in your hand, I think you're probably a little bit, you're deluding yourself, you know? Of course you can practice in solo queue. Mm-hmm. And of course you can improve. And of course the better players still win in solo queue. All of my teammates are approaching like 1700 rating in solo queue. We're higher than some of the teams that queue together. And there's just no way. I get frustrated, guys. Believe me. When I'm playing solo, I get mad. Like, if I have bad behavior on stream, it's more likely to be when I'm solo queuing than when I'm playing with my team. But I think for sure you can practice in solo queue.
So we came from like a League background. In League, it's almost, whenever you're playing solo queue, it's almost mandatory that you find a way to solo carry games. But I found that like with Unite, it seems more difficult to solo carry. Do you think that's just because Pokemon are too tanky with like Buddy Barrier, with Focus Band? Or why do you think it's harder for people to solo carry in these games?
You're asking, the presupposition is that it's harder, right? I don't know if I agree with you on
really?
That.
Really? Okay.
And why? In League and Dota, just say I solo climbed as a mid laner in Dota.
Yeah.
I'd play Jungle Axe when I couldn't play mid. Okay. Mm. But there's, you remember the games where you pop off and you get really fed on mid? Say like I was a Death Prophet player. Like say I solo kill a guy and I break his tower or something early game. I'm like, wow, I carried, right? But you forget the games where like there's like a Mirana, Priestess of the Moon, ganking character just sitting your lane and making your impact on the game zero.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just one guy commits to making you not play, and then you're automatically losing mid. And that game, you have almost zero impact as a mid laner, right? Because there's just some guy shooting arrows at you the whole time while you're trying to lane.
Right.
Right? Like I don't know if you know what like Mirana arrow is, but it's basically like Ash arrow on a basic ability. Mm-hmm. Right. And so there was the meta that I played, there were some guys that would just come and they would just shoot them at you the whole game until they hit you. And if it hit you from max range, it was a 5 second stun at the time. Okay. At the moment you got hit by one, the enemy mid laner would then solo kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, not solo kill you, but you're stunned for 5 seconds. So you're dead in lane. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I remember the games where I popped off on Death Prophet, right? But that's X percentage, right? And then X percentage of my game, there's a Mirana sitting there the whole game. X percentage of the game, my teammates don't counter gank ever, right? And so I feel like I have more of an impact because of the way the game goes. But really, in these, like in any Dota game, anything like this, there's so many factors influencing it. It's not just did you get levels and become strong. It's like why were you able to? Well, what went into this, etc. Like there's no. I'm just going to pump my adrenaline and just dodge all the Mirana arrows every time the guy tries to do it to me, right? That guy, immediately, the moment he decided to do that, he basically negated the impact I could have on the game as a solo carry player. And if I was, even in Dota, this was true too, where I was like 6,000 rated at the time. And the way it would work is it'd be one 6,000 rated player against one 6,000 rated player and a bunch of 4,000 rated players, right? That Mirana could be one of the 4K players on the other team. The enemy mid laner could be the 6,000 rated player, and we lose if the 4,000 rated Mirana doesn't let me play the game and the other guy gets ahead of me, the other high rated player. And that's like, that can happen in Pokemon Unite in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it leans both ways, right? As a jungler in Pokemon Unite, almost every single game, you're going to come out of the jungle as the strongest player on your team, and you're going to have a chance to make an impact on the fight. Yeah. As a top laner, you can break top, you can score top when everyone leaves, do Bs and be level 9. And sure, you can be like the second strong guy on your team, right? Like you have options in any game, and you don't have options in a way as well in Pokemon Unite and in Dota, right? Like in the situation we talked about. So I think trying to, especially when inexperienced players try to do this, they try to like sum up. They say, in League of Legends, I had way more agency than Pokemon Unite. They're probably not even equipped to make this analysis of the game. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's all about just trying to find your spot in the game, really. Yeah, not necessarily trying to carry all the time, but if you're playing in solo queue and you're finding yourself without stuff to do, you're more supporting the other like other members of your team, trying to get them up high. Like you either are the Death Prophet in the middle trying to get all the kills, or you're the Mirana trying to deny the mid laner of doing stuff.
Yeah. Sorry for the long-winded Dota analogy, but I just wanted to kind of explain how you remember the games where you pop off in League of Legends, right? And yeah, they're maybe not the same as the games. Maybe a pop off in Pokemon Unite is like you farm the enemy side of the map at the right time and you get strong enough to last its zap. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily it's not as flashy for sure, but you have options in every game. I don't feel because if I feel like I'm having difficulty climbing in Pokemon Unite, I feel like it's because of the MMR system and like 5-stack players and being lumped with solo queue and things like this. I think if you had actual accurate MMR Pokemon Unite and everybody, you were getting like all the competitive players were getting games together when we solo queued, but like it was random who got on whose team, those games would be really fun and really competitive. And
are you familiar with how the MMR system works in Pokemon Unite?
What do you mean?
I am not familiar at all. When you mentioned that, you know, playing solo queue against 5-stacks, to me, I thought that was impossible. I didn't know that was a thing.
That happens sometimes. And people share the same rating over, which, of course, sometimes guys playing with his full team. If I queued on my main, right, it's like rank 4 or whatever. It's the one I play with my teammates. Mm-hmm. And then if I queued solo queue on that, there's no way I could make the same impact for my team to represent my MMR. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you almost have to play on an alt account.
Yeah, you have to find an alt account. Because I'm like 2,400 on my main, 1,700 solo queuing, right? There's absolutely no way I could have a 2,400 impact on a solo queue game. It's not possible.
Wow.
Especially because you also have this thing where it's putting veteran players in the games, the solo queue games, right? The matchmaking's not great for sure so far. But I think with mobile release, things could get better. A lot of games don't have great matchmaking, so.
Really? What makes you say that?
Which thing?
The mobile game release.
There's just going to be more players, right? So the bigger player base, the more easy you can match evenly matched games.
That's true.
I feel like there might be a thing too where mobile players are more inclined to solo queue. I'm not sure if that's true, but something tells me the sitting on Discord playing with your 5-stack kind of players are more likely to be the PC capture card Switch type rather than the playing on the way to school type.
Almost certainly. Yeah, I would agree with that totally.
Yeah, these mobile players are at like doctor's appointments waiting in the waiting room. They're going to whip out Unite real quick.
Maybe they're sick.
True.
The Zoomer sick, phone man. Gamers? I'm ready to get clapped by the Zoomer phone gamers, man. I got to tell you.
I don't know, man. Like I'm Canadian, right? So I had access to the mobile version of Unite. It's not a better experience. That's for sure. I feel like still the competitive player base is going to be primarily Switch based. I think that the people, like as you say, the people who are really trying to get good at the game and sit with their friends on Discord and, you know, really try and score their wins are the people who have a controller in their hand, sitting in front of a capture card, sitting in front of their monitor. The people who are playing on the phone, I feel like you lose something by only using your two thumbs and not using the rest of your hand, selecting skills and whatnot.
Yeah, it's called covering the screen.
Yeah,
exactly. You lose a lot of vision.
You lose thumbs. A full like inch and a half of the screen on both sides.
Have you guys seen like these Arena Valor Wild Rift kids though?
Yes,
they're absolutely nuts.
That's true.
Man. They're like tapping on their screen. It sounds like they're playing music when they're playing, man. I'm intimidated for sure.
But those people are only playing with each other. They're like all the mobile gamers are playing with the other mobile gamers. The people who are on mobile are going to be playing with the Switch people.
Yeah, but what these guys are doing on like in the game, it looks like mechanically it looks easier than like it doesn't look easy. I don't look at it and say I could do that easier than I can play with a Switch controller, right? But it looks like they're doing things that I can't do with the Switch controller on the screen, and they're doing it effectively.
It's so, like when you see someone playing StarCraft with like 250 APM and their hands are just kind of like shooting all over the keyboard and all over the mouse. It's like, oh no, I can't do that. That's not something I can do.
You got to see these kids playing the mobile games, dude. I think we're in for a rude awakening when they start playing Pokemon Unite.
I mean, it's true. Maybe I'm underestimating the mobile crowd. I hope I am. I want to see a tournament where like somebody goes up to the main stage. They're just holding on to their phone and they're like, I'm good. They whip out like their Unite case, slap it on. Let's go.
The FPS games play with the phones on stage, like PUBG True. Mobile, stuff like that. Those games are huge in the East, by the way. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely,
Friend of mine went to China for, what was it? The PUBG Mobile tournament. And she come home with like thousands of like Indian fans.
Interesting.
That saw that she was there. There's this whole scene that it's like, they talk on Facebook and stuff, man. It's like foreign to us, you know? They have like Facebook groups. I'm negative. I'm cynical. I'm not hopeful sometimes when it comes to stuff. And I'm like, no, nobody's going to play mobile games. Games in danger, all this stuff. Like these thoughts are in the back of my mind. And then I think about my friend having like thousands of Indian followers when she came home from the PUBG mobile tournament. And it's just like, maybe this game is going to blow up, you know? I mean, it's kind of exciting in that way.
Yeah, right. Like don't underestimate what the rest of the world is going to do for the game, I guess. Yeah, it's true. I find you playing against a lot of Japanese players at a high rank, or at least in their names. Is that accurate?
There's a Korean team and a Japanese team that I play against frequently.
I see. Cool.
The Japanese team is Baki's team, and then I believe Yamada's team is Korean, but I could be wrong.
Interesting. Tell me a little bit more about how your team kind of decided the go-to composition. How did you guys decide who's going where? Is it just from prior experience or?
Well, there was like, we spoke earlier in the podcast about how like we kind of have a history of playing stuff. So naturally Zagrog would be the tank because he was a tank in the past. And I figured I'd play. I typically don't like playing the big carry on the team. Mm-hmm. For me, I like being the, Indy was a support. So I couldn't play support, even though like support is kind of something that I like to do. But I don't like being the star of the show. You know, I like being at least in terms of in the game. I like playing the kind of backup guy. And so that's how the way the composition worked out. The jungler is the most important person. The person that plays the central area is the most important player. And then there's like, you know, the flashy Lucario. That's not my style either. Mm-hmm. And that is like Lutano's kind of like the cracked gamer on our team. You know, he's like a Challenger League player. Always is like when you'd go to the Heroes of the Storm tournament, he'd be the guy on the banner, you know?
Right.
You'd have like a giant Lutano like on the banner.
Exactly. Arms crossed, yeah.
It'd be like in Poland with this guy and he's like, how do we take it home? And it's like, dude, that thing's like 200 pounds. It's staying here. Like there's no way we can take that home, dude.
Wow.
So, you know, we have like our personalities, I guess, to answer your question. Sorry, I was kind of just talking. We have like both our personalities and like our gaming history, I guess, played into who's playing what.
Sure.
And if you're talking about, this might be a different question, but with regards to what Pokemon we're playing, it's been an iterative process, you know, like in our first tournament, we played Machamp in the jungle and Pikachu in lane. And this was a subreddit tournament the week the game released, the same weekend. We won that. We won the first tournament in the game. But played Pikachu and Machamp. Neither of them see any play right now.
That's true.
But we had a plan. Toon was punching people on the Machamp. He was jungle Machamp. And I was lane Pikachu. Nobody's playing Buddy Barrier, so Pikachu's ult kind of just killed everyone when you popped it. It's kind of funny.
It is funny to see how Buddy Barrier has kind of evolved into the meta.
And like no one was playing it actually. Yeah. And I was, and it's funny, it was a huge advantage for us because Pikachu kind of like runs inside the enemy team when he's ulting, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm a little Pikachu. I need like to be a shielded or something when I do this. This is like, you know, the early Pokemon Unite logic. Yeah. And so the first tournament, I'm like, I'm bringing Buddy Barrier, dude. This way I run in, I have a big shield and I run inside the enemy team and they all die to my ultimate. That seems really good. Obviously, it seems silly now to say that, right? But it was, we were popping off, man. I'd get like quadro kills on Pikachu in that tournament. It was really funny.
Interesting. I mean, there still are all of these subtle meta changes. I know that a lot of the people you play against, the teams that you frequent, a lot of them bring full heals, which honestly I have not been seeing in lower MMR games. Do you see why full heal is viable?
Okay, so the ladder meta especially. Wiggly's bugged. Okay, that just for the viewers, I'll just explain some stuff. Wiggly has like a really exploitable bug that's left her banned from many of the Pokemon Unite tournaments that are happening. Basically, her ultimate can get used twice in a row if you time it properly. Like,
I've had that happen, yeah. I play a lot of Wiggly.
you get stunned, and you're able to get 90% back. And the earlier, like, so you want to get stunned at the end of your ultimate cast. I'm explaining everybody how to bug abuse, but, you know, everybody knows at this point anyway. Mm-hmm. You get stunned at the end of your ult cast, you get 90% refund, and you get full ult effects. So that's why Wiggly's banned. She's also incredibly broken, degenerate character. But on top of that, she can ult twice. So
Kevin's like, "That's my main."
with the question is full heal, yeah, right? Yeah. So on the ladder meta with Wiggly, Snorlax, you full heal his stun, right? And he lands on you. You full heal. You walk away. He walks away. Wiggly comes inside you to sing you, and the play where the Wiggly's running inside of you and singing everybody is only good if everybody falls asleep at the end. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just hitting Wiggly till you're about to fall asleep, and then you're full healing. And so Wiggly kind of self-baits when chasing someone down with full heal, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, say it's the Greninja, and he's hitting her, then he's about to fall asleep, and he full heals, and he just keeps hitting her instead of falling asleep like she expected him to, right?
Right.
And so that's really big, especially on the ladder meta. In competitive with Wiggly banned right now, mm-hmm, full heal's still good. There's a lot of times in Unite where you die without getting to play the game. Like, you get Snorlax jumped on, and he pushes you into a wall, and you don't play again until you're dead.
Right, exactly.
Right, yeah. And
they tried to fix it. They tried to change it by just a little bit. Wasn't enough. Still.
You can flash the Snorlax stun, and, you know, mm-hmm, there's counterplay and stuff, but once it hits you, there's, like, sometimes you're just dead in Pokemon Unite, and full heal stops that from happening as well. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's better? My team doesn't play any full heals, so that kind of answers the question, mm-hmm, but it's definitely a good item, especially with the eject button there. It seems really, really strong in the early game, especially.
How much would they have to nerf eject button for people to actually not use it anymore?
It's close. Like, I think, like, I mean, I don't believe in Fluffy Tail either. A lot of teams are playing, mm-hmm, Fluffy Tail. That's what it's called, Fluffy Tail.
Yep.
Okay, we call it the sticky hand on my team for some reason. So
that's kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah.
I was afraid I said the wrong thing, but yeah, no, Fluffy Tail. I don't really believe in it too much either. But you can see in the low levels. Well, I don't want to say low, but everything but the very top level of competition, people are spamming Fluffy Tail as well. We're, mm-hmm, the only team not doing that. We're the only team still playing eject button over full heal on some characters. The eject button's not,
it's so not value overpowered. It's so value though.
It's good, but I think, like, we're not at a point where, like, there's not enough battle item diversity. Like, Fluffy Tail was overbuffed, in my opinion. It's leading to some degenerate gameplay on First Dread, degenerate gameplay on Zapdos, especially, like, the metagame on ladder right now is, like, you get Wiggly and Blastoise in the Zapdos pit, you sticky hand the Zapdos, and then you spin and Wiggly ults and no one can be CC'd and you just hit it till it dies.
Oh, man.
It's not a fun time, to be honest. So, mm-hmm, I hope that the solution to getting people to not play eject button isn't overbuffing items like Fluffy Tail in the future, because Fluffy Tail being as powerful as it is, it's not making the game better.
Right.
Right? Like, the game is better when five people take eject button than the game is when five people take Fluffy Tail. It's just, yeah, a more interactive game full of more skill expression. And
right.
I mean, I hope that they don't see that as a problem. Like, that's what's got me concerned. Fluffy Tail, objectives die too fast, guys. Like, this is a tangent response to your question,
no, do
right?
It. But yeah.
Objectives die too fast as it is. Dreadnought dies too easily. Muscle Band shouldn't work on Zapdos. All these things. Like, I'm saying these with confidence because I feel pretty confident about them. Like, it's upsetting how fast objectives are in Pokemon Unite. And the idea that they buffed Fluffy Tail because they wanted less people to use the skillful battle item eject button that's kind of like not oppressive at all, but, you know, is ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't like, ubiquity's not always a problem in metagames, right? Like, you can play a TCG meta where everyone's playing the same deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a VGC meta where everyone's playing the same team. Mm-hmm. And it can either be a meta where there's a lot of skill expression and the decisions you make lead to you winning or losing the game.
Right.
Or it can be a meta where that's not the case. And this can exist in metas with ubiquity or uniformness. And it can exist in metas without it. But the more important thing is the one where the decisions you make and the way you play matter. And I think like 5 Fluffy Tails is the bad type of ubiquity and 5 eject buttons is the good type. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. one contributes to objectives going down. The other contributes to proper team fighting. It's adding a mechanic to a game versus speeding up a game. And you don't necessarily want to be speeding up a game. Not in a game where it's set as 10 minutes. I agree with that. Let's talk a little bit. Let's pivot with that toward tournament play, because obviously tournaments are a thing that's happening more and more in Unite. People are trying to put them together. They have been going since, as you said, the first week of Unite. But I feel like the issue that a lot of people have right now is that nobody is looking for these tournaments, or there hasn't really been a great place to go and show where these tournaments are happening. How do you and your team go and find these tournaments? What's your strategy for finding tournaments?
We have a manager, Ursi, that like a manager is like, you know, what her official title would be if she had one. But, you know, she's a friend of ours and we help her out with stuff and she's happy to do us the favor of doing small stuff like that for our team. People know to message her if they want us to play. To address one of your points, or I don't know if it was like, I don't want it to be glossed over. There's not good teams that play on the ladder that are missing the tournaments, by the way. Like, right. Everyone's finding them. There's people that like don't play the ladder and don't play tournaments, but are they really trying at the game? Would be my question. Everyone seems to be finding the tournaments okay. So
people who are going professional or trying to play in a professional mindset with Unite might be. That makes sense. I think I feel more like casual players aren't necessarily finding tournaments as easily.
Yeah. I think maybe like built-in tournaments on the game, something like the Pokemon TCG Online client might be good. Mm. But generally speaking, the casual players are not going to have fun in these tournaments, right? There's a long wait. That's and true. Then you get 2-0'd and then, I mean, I can't speak for them, but the tournaments mostly seem to be directed at competitive players right now. It's not like a Pokemon TCG local or something like that where you go and you have a good time, right? Right now, you're going to make it one round. Maybe you're going to wait 30 minutes because the tournament organizer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're going to play some top team and they're going to knock you out. And that doesn't mean they shouldn't play, but
that's important though. It gives you a lot of perspective of like where you should be going and like what direction you can head in for tournament play. Like you need to go to turn, even in TCG, like you need to go to tournaments and get smashed. Like
I agree with you, Ed, though. I just don't think like finding the tournament on Twitter is going to be like a greater hardship than the smackdown you face in round two or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, if you're not cut out to like look on Twitter to find the tournament, you're probably not cut out to survive the horrible first round loss you're going to take by playing a tournament if you don't even play ladder games.
Okay. All right. So then participating in, and how many tournaments have you participated in at this point?
Let me check my Twitter. I update my bio every time.
Oh, is that right? Last time I checked, okay. I think I saw 16. Was that right?
Yeah, 16. That's correct. Played 16 Pokemon Unite tournaments. We've won 13 of them.
13 out of 16 tournaments. And so tell me about, you know, the experiences there. Are there a lot of players in that? Are there like?
This is another thing I was trying to get in. I don't know what happened, but there's most of these tournaments have like 100 teams signed up. That's 500 people. Those are pretty good events, right? Like,
yeah,
those are pretty sizable events for how hard it is to find them as well.
Interesting.
I'm not saying that, you know, it is actually a pain to find them. I agree with you guys, but even then, we're still having some pretty large events. I believe the Victory Road Tournament had 300 and something teams.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Victory Road Tournament was huge. I know a lot of the tournaments have been quite big. 16, though, is like a... I don't know that there have been 16 tournaments. I know of three. So that's interesting. Okay, so sorry. So tell me about what the experience in tournament play for Unite has been like.
So... Dude, give me a little more direction. There's so much to say.
First pops to mind?
What first pops to mind? Like the first tournament we talked about, you know, kind of going in with a Pikachu and a Machamp. That was a fun time. The prize pools have been pretty impressive, I guess.
Really?
For community run tournaments.
Okay.
That's been fun. You know, making a lot of Uber Eats money. what else is there?
It's
fun seeing the different, you know, playing the different teams, the different iterations of people's rosters over time. Mm-hmm. I think I wish that people wouldn't disband their teams as often as they do and like kind of like remake. I feel like we've played like, you know, our team has had one roster change the whole time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've played so many iterations of like the same like 15 players. I feel like if they just stuck together, they'd be doing better.
So like they just like pick and choose different players that they want.
Like yeah, like some people are kicking. They lose and they make a new roster, you know. But it's like three of the same people and two guys from a team they lost to, or two guys from a team they beat, and then so on. As you beat them and they shuffle around again. Like that's maybe not great. I do worry that us winning as much as we have has kind of this seems like a humble brag, but I mean it sincerely.
Go for it.
I think we've like. Maybe done a disservice to the competitive scene by winning as much as we have. I think if the viewership in general has gone down, but I don't think like I was getting like 1,000 viewer streams for a couple of tournaments like 2-3 weeks ago. Right. And it seems like people don't want to tune in and just watch us win again. And I can tell by the way my chat is too. When there's 1,000 viewers watching, they're watching to see me lose. Like,
right.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. Not everyone, of course, right? But you can tell like people get really happy when we start losing in my chat, right? And like that goes for every game. Like there's gonna be people who are mean to you in your Twitch chat, but that I don't take it badly, but for sure it gives me that idea that maybe we've won a bit too much and people wanted to see other teams win more often. Now I don't feel bad about that.
I wouldn't feel bad about
problem
that
to have either. Yeah, it's a good problem to have. It's still a problem nonetheless.
I care about the health of the game, of course, though, right?
Of course. I think it speaks a lot to the community and who's trying to become top tier pro. I mean, the game would be incredibly healthy if there were people who were, you know, working their way up in that cycle of becoming pro. And that, you know, there weren't, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 teams who just kind of dominated the top 20. But I don't think that's your responsibility to keep the rest of the community hungry for wins. Like if you're the winningest team right now, then you're the winningest team right now. Like that can change at any moment. It's just whenever people decide to like really step it up, then that's going to happen, or it won't. And you'll continue to win, which is great for you. Might not be super great for the game, but again,
we have it where
not on
people,
you.
We have it where people come and say, like, we lose one tournament to you. Like, we've lost 3 tournaments, okay? One was a best of 1 tournament, and 2 were 9 a.m. tournaments or 6 a.m. tournaments for Lutano because he's on the West Coast.
So there
okay?
were reasons. Yeah.
Well, that makes it sound like an excuse, but, you know, we've lost a couple, and when it happens, people like, say we're washed, too. That's the craziest thing. We're down to 13 out of 16, and people are like, man, these guys are not as dominant as
over.
They once were.
They're done.
It's over. That's something just as funny in this community, for sure. And I think it speaks to people wanting that to be the case. And there's definitely, we have a lot of great fans, you know, especially for a new game. Mm-hmm. We do have like a lot of supportive fans, and I don't want to downplay that at all. But I think people are hungry to see us get our butt kicked a little bit. So hopefully, not for me, but for the game, hopefully there's some good competition coming up with mobile. Like that's why I kind of played up the idea of the mobile kids coming to beat us up, because that's exciting, you know?
It's
way more exciting than the idea that one team will win every time you turn a stream on.
Absolutely. And I mean, the thing with Pokemon Unite is it's so much of a faster game, and not just the game sense, but in the culture. I think everybody expected the game to kind of hit its full life cycle in the first month. And when it didn't do that, and when it started to pick up even more, and when they started to introduce more Pokemon to the game, then people are kind of left in this limbo of like, okay, so when is this game actually going to die? And I think one of the facts is that it just might not, and this might just be a game that people can play now. And the more that they introduce things like mobile and spectator mode specifically, I think that's one of the biggest things for this game. Really enables content creators to really push it and make good content out of it. Then it'll, you know, continue on in that upward growth rather than go down like everyone else thinks it kind of will.
Well, if you think of games in terms like how alive a game is based on its Twitch viewership, I mean, you'd be writing off a lot of games that are extremely popular, right? Like, isn't Roblox has to be like one of the most profitable games, right? Nobody watches Roblox on Twitch.
Mm-hmm. No one at all.
There's like a pretty big YouTube community for Pokemon, and I mean, nobody watches competitive Pokemon TCG either, but, you know, they have big in-person events that people fly to.
Absolutely.
The Pokkens at Pokemon Worlds, right? I've never witnessed someone play Pokken in my long life.
Right.
I've never actually seen it. It happens, apparently. I'm a big Pokemon fan. I think I would love to watch a game of Pokken. I'm not making fun of Pokken, okay?
It's true.
But I've never seen somebody play Pokken in my life, and that game's alive, so.
The thing with people just taking Twitch viewership and being like, hey, look, Sword and Shield's making more views than Pokemon Unite right now. You open up the Sword and Shield section of Twitch, 17 of the top viewerships are all just shiny hunting. There's like two VGC players, and then the rest are just playing old games but labeling it as Sword and Shield. So that could not be farther from the truth. I still think Pokemon Unite at least has more viewership than like competitive VGC right now.
The people who label it on Twitch are definitely like specifically playing Pokemon Unite at that moment.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different ways to play Sword and Shield.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, there's like VGC has this like fringe interest of anyone who's ever played a Pokemon game as well, right? It's like so like when people think of a Pokemon battle, they think of that Pokemon Game Boy battle, you know? And so like I know there's people I watch like Pokemon VGC videos, like I'll watch Wolfie once in a while, I'll get on a kick on YouTube. I have no idea what's going on. There's like English Moltres is out there, they got Hawaii Ninetales, like I have literally no idea what's going on, and I'll still watch it, you know? Like, and I think that Unite doesn't have that same appeal in that way, but it's still Pokemon, you know? And it's someone who's played, how many people have a passion for Pokemon and they've played League of Legends, you know?
Right. And that's kind of the thing about this Pokemon game specifically. I'll tell you something that we talk about, I mentioned quite a bit on the podcast, that the issue that VGC has is that the onboarding to it is insanely tough. You need to go and finish the game. You need to go and figure out that you can actually play in double battles. The entire game you're playing is a single battle. So it's like this complete different way of like switching your brain into, you know, figuring out how to play a completely different game. It's not the game that you've learned. It's not the game that the game has taught you. And yet it's the game's official competitive format. It's not onboarded well at all versus Pokemon Unite, where its onboarding is all of the other MOBAs that you've ever played. And if you've never played a single MOBA, you can just jump into Pokemon Unite and learn it from there. It's not hard to pick up. You can just go right into games. That's what I love about Pokemon Unite, and that's why I wish that it. That's why I hope sincerely that it continues, because it is a Pokemon game that is perfect for people to pick up and actually reach a competitive place after not a ton of onboarding time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you played League of Legends ranked games or like normal games, and you're controlling one champion, and then you're playing. You play ranked or something, or you play a tournament, now you have two champions. I don't, like I said, I was passionate about net battle and like, who knows, whatever year, right? I'm an old man, okay? But I can never get into VGC because it does feel that way, that it's not the same game. And I really, like I said, I'm a fan of, you know, Wolfie's YouTube videos, all these things. I watch VGC content, but I don't understand why they've done this. It's... Wouldn't the game be huge I think like you could play singles with like entry hazards and heel moves banned or something like some ridiculous meta that's not as like slow, and at least it would be the same game. Yep. You know, you get there and you're like, oh, I can't use soft boiled. Like, wish is not allowed. You know, there's no spikes, no stealth rocks. Whatever, right? At least it would be the same game.
And with, the issue with VGC, that,
I think I played competitive netball. I was like high ranked at the time, and I can't tell you what the hell is going to happen in a VGC game when I'm watching. I have no idea. All of a sudden, everybody's one-shotting each other, right? Guy turns into, especially with, like, now there's new stuff, right? There's, like, the guy goes giant, and he's got different moves I've never heard of. Like, it's intimidating, for sure. And that's why I'm not playing VGC right now. I would be 100%. There's two things that bother me about Pokemon. I wish that, with how online the games are now, I wish everyone's Pokemon weren't generated, okay? That's, like...
Okay.
That's like a concern. The part of the appeal of Pokemon as a strategy game to me is the idea of making your Pokemon. I know it's just a pointless waste of time, but for me, that would make it more interesting, right? I don't know. I can't say that it's a rational opinion to hold, but it definitely bothers me that they're hacked Pokemon.
That's
the
fine.
Second thing is I've never played. I've just never played doubles in Pokemon. I did play Temtem though, so I'm kind of a hypocrite.
And who has in doubles? Most people haven't. In Pokemon, most people haven't played doubles. You're of the wide majority, I think, of people who. Can't
but you guys are a VGC fan. You cover VGC, right? So
yeah, absolutely. But we're talking about like the
casual player base. Yeah.
There is no casual player base for VGC. Everyone who plays is playing as competitive, which is I say unhealthy. But you know, other people might say otherwise.
And singles, if someone just had a bad team, you could just like, you could even have a matchmaking system where it like automatically puts them in like their team's average Smogon tier or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they'd have fun playing their Jolteon or whatever the hell they want to play.
Oh, it's Pokemon Showdown. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I really do wish competitive Pokemon was, I could watch competitive singles right now and have like an idea what's going on. You know what I mean? I could look at my friend next to me and he could be like, that guy's a special sweeper. He's trying to set up.
Yeah.
Right, and I would understand what's happening. What in VGC? If you tell me someone's trying to set up, I have no idea what that means. Like, there's two guys.
There was a golden period for singles that has kind of ended with the way that they've built this game. It's just they set a timer that was way too short for singles because those games last longer because they're not four turn games like VGC is. But yeah, like back in, I guess, Gen 5, Gen 6, the single scene was doing really well. And a lot of the content creators, which actually I do want to quickly pivot to, the content creators were really going hard on singles and doing quite well, which was a lot of fun. In Unite, to bring it real quick right back to that, I mentioned a little bit earlier that spectator mode is the... I would say penultimate way of actually bringing up viewership of Pokemon Unite. And I want to kind of get your thoughts on that. I feel like spectator mode is the thing that enables content creators to, dive into pro player matches without actually being pro players themselves. Yes, we have pro players like yourself and your team who are all content creators as well, but that makes it only available for five people. And I feel like, to bring it down to the casual audience, you need other more casual players to be able to make videos and speak about it. What do you think?
Can I soapbox for a moment?
Soapbox.
I don't want to like go on a crusade on your podcast or whatever, but I just want to
do it.
How did we just to set the stage for the people watching? How did we decide that we were going to like do this together today? I made a tweet and it said, I'm willing to work with anybody on their YouTube content. I mean it. And no matter who reached out to me, I've accepted absolutely everybody. It's not the problem you're talking about. It's more complex than, I agree with you what you're saying 100%, but the problem you're talking about is much, much more complex than it's being made out to be.
Mm-hmm.
No content creator wants to, the moment, okay, just take like a random Pokemon YouTube content creator putting out tier list videos, how to play Pokemon Unite, blah, blah, blah. They're like 1300 master or whatever. The moment they acknowledge the existence of a competitive scene in Pokemon Unite and people who are better than them, it delegitimizes their content. You know, when you find out there's a bunch of people playing tournaments that win 99% of their games against your favorite YouTuber who's writing your guides, that's not good for the YouTuber's business. You understand what I'm saying?
So that's the perspective I didn't think of, but yeah.
I hear you. I don't know if I agree, but I'm going to let you continue.
So I mean, since the start of us being a successful Pokemon Unite team, I've been reaching out to everybody, trying to work with people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, some of the bigger, I find this happens with kind of the more middling content creators. They're like, they don't want to, they're like a, they're clout goblins. You know what I mean? They're like, they're the dragon sitting on top of the cloud, and they don't want anybody anywhere near it. And I had like, you know, me and Wolfie hung out on stream and we played, and that's like, you know, he could care less, you know, like, but then you have like the middle people making Pokemon Unite tier list. I'm the best Pokemon Unite player. And they're like 1400 master or whatever. Right.
Right.
And those guys want nothing. The best thing that they can do for their career is pretend that we don't exist. And that's just the way it is. And that's why I try to constantly make it clear that I'm willing to, you know, I'm willing to help, like, take part and, you know, be involved with people, make competitive videos, all these things. I don't want anybody to do my job for me.
Right.
But I definitely have felt it where, you know, I'll get a follow back from the huge Pokemon TCG guy that doesn't take himself too seriously. And, you know, he opens packs on stream and he's got like 200,000 followers and we're cool. We have a nice relationship now,
yeah.
For example, right? Like, say I'm coaching A-Drive and we're hanging out once in a while. The guy's been nothing but good to me. Just an example, right?
Yeah.
And then you have like, I'm not going to name names here because it wouldn't be polite, but you have like the people who make like guide videos, things like that. And I can't get a message back. I can't get a follow. It's not, that they're hurting my feelings. It's that I'm concerned about the health of the competitive scene as a result of this stuff. And that's I'm soapboxing a bit here, but it is something that's really concerning, that the content creator like 10 years ago, the content creators would be psyched.
Yes.
To make content with top players in a game. Now it seems like people have figured out that you don't want the dynamic to be that way. If you have like an audience, a hold on the audience, you want to control the narrative. And and like I said, I'm going on and on now, but the idea is generally that you're making YouTube guide videos for Pokemon Unite. It's in your best interest if people don't know you're wrong about the stuff you're saying. So there's a conflict of interest.
I suppose that's true, that you don't want people spreading misinformation. And it kind of speaks weirdly to the actual pro scene. There's some people who could be seen as a straight up disgrace to what pros are actually doing by what they're saying. I think that there's a lot to be said about interest, though. I think that people who have high clout, people who are, you know, clout goblins. I love that term, by the way. People who are trying to just generate interest through what they believe are in guide videos specifically, what they believe is the optimal way of playing this thing. I think that generates interest from the masses. That gets people into the game in whatever their specific way is.
Wait. Maybe let me clarify my point.
Yeah,
I just want to clarify my point because I think you're thinking that I think the guide videos are bad. I don't think that. I think it's good for the game in general that they exist. What I'm saying is that those content creators have an interest in the competitive scene not being the most popular part of the game, you know? Whereas in the past, like if you look at like 2010 Dota, the competitive scene was the content creation, right? Mm-hmm. People were like, oh my God, it's Dendi, you know, it's like the video with Dendi. And that's like the way these things worked, right? Mm-hmm. And now, like I said, I think that the content creators have realized the moment they, especially for these like Pokemon games, things like this, if you let, in the VGC scene, you have it where the most popular VGC people are the competitive players. And I don't think that like your general Pokemon content creator wants it to be that way for every Pokemon game that comes out. Mm-hmm. And from a strictly business perspective for them, it doesn't make sense as well for them to make it where, for them to support the competitive scene in a way that makes them less popular. But I do think it would be better for everyone if the content creators work together.
Yes, that part. So that's the part that I expressly agree with. The part that I think I disagree with is the fact that it does not, in my mind, it does not delegitimize a smaller content creator's platform if they refuse to acknowledge the people who are better than them. Yes, true. But I think people who don't look to that, or people who, you know, have their own experience with the game, it brings in other people. I think the end goal is the same in that it brings in a large community of people who then have a vested interest in the game, who then learn how to play the game. Some of those people might become competitive. Some people might not. I think it's just bringing more of a voice to Pokemon Unite. You don't want people looking toward 20 or so people who are top tier, because eventually they're going to be started to be painted as the villains. Unfortunately, they want other people to be coming up, and those numbers are just going to go anywhere but down.
I agree with you on that. What I'm saying is, there's no part of me that's going to be like, you're a new player, don't go watch the guides on YouTube. I'm not going to pretend like these content creators don't exist. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like from the certain type of content creator right now, what they're doing is there's this feeling where it's like, they hold their ears and they're like, no Pokemon Unite competitive scene, you know, no, it doesn't exist. But that's so bad for outside investment in the game and stuff like that. Like, for sure, like Tencent, Timmy, they're weighing what's happening right now, what percent of the content is about competitive stuff. I think for a MOBA game, without a competitive scene, the game won't exist.
100%.
And so collaboration, like this is the idea, right? And the core of my point is that a rising tide lifts all boats. Mm. Okay, it's not that I want these guys think these guys are doing something bad by making guide videos, things like this. This stuff is great for the game. What I'm saying is, when you have like a clout cult, you know, that doesn't let outside people in and just tries to,
I am the only one who should be playing this game. Yeah,
only things that benefit themselves. It's not good.
Totally.
That's all I'm saying.
Agreed.
Now I definitely agree with Goof because I have seen it on Twitter too. I'm not gonna name any names, but I've seen even VGC content creators or like big shiny hunter streamers or big just like Nuzlockers saying they'll take any single chance they get to say Unite is a dead game because it threatens them. It threatens them because they're not as good as these competitive players and they can't get the viewership that these competitive players are getting because they feel threatened. So they'll take any single shot to be like, Unite's dead. No, if you still play this game? Like, just things like that. Just like this negativity. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Watch me, you know, reset for this very low, you know, dumb, different colored Pokemon.
I know your feelings of shiny hunting, yes.
I hate it. It's pointless, but whatever.
I don't mind the shiny hunters, man.
They're great. I just hate doing it. Yeah. I hate doing it. And I'm not a consumer, but...
I agree with you, though. I don't hate the shiny hunters, but the shiny hunters hate competitive Pokemon Unite. Yeah.
They don't want people to see it.
You can't categorize people that way. That was a mistake of me to speak that way. Not all of them, of course. But I agree with your sentiment for sure that the moment it started happening, right, where these people realized they weren't going to be the top-ranked Pokemon Unite player, you know? Let me change to a positive way. The VGC community, like the people involved with VGC, especially the popular VGC players, have been nothing but kind to me and supportive of what I've done in Pokemon Unite. They've retweeted me. They've supported our team. I see them in my Twitch chat supporting, like watching the tournaments. The VGC people have been nothing but kind to me. And I don't want to, and the TCG people as well. I definitely don't want it. Nice. Want to paint the picture that way. I think there's maybe like, you know, I feel a little bit of weirdness from the Pokemon Go community sometimes. Mm. Those many of them have been nice to me. They're all individual people with their own motives and, you know, sense of character, right and wrong, these things. But definitely the competitive Pokemon people have been by far the generally the kindest to me since I've started Pokemon content creation.
Totally.
They understand your struggle.
Well, I think a lot of us kind of see it the same way as well, that Pokemon Unite has so much potential and it has so much, you know, room to grow in such a positive way that, you know, they want to see it succeed. Because anything that, like you said, a rising tide lifts all ships. Like that is absolutely the case with Pokemon, just in general. They'll get there. Go has its own series of things that it's trying to work on as well. So, we've been talking for an hour, and I swear I could be talking for an hour more, but I just like really quick, I need to ask some super basic questions for our audience that are just trying to get into Unite in the same way that we kind of were a couple weeks ago.
Let's go.
Drednaw, when is it important?
Drednaw, you can't give Drednaw for free. Hmm. If you ever give Drednaw for free, you better have won the game for not taking Drednaw. Like, you can lose Dred and win the game, but You can never give Dreadnought for free.
Okay.
Thoughts make them pay, you know? Make
yeah,
them pay.
Make them pay for it, exactly. Lose a goal or two. Yeah. Thoughts on Zapdos?
Too many tertiary effects. Like, why does it drop a big stun on the ground and heal your whole team?
Yeah.
Why does everybody get... Here's the problem, okay, with the Zapdos mechanic. For the beginners, Zapdos is a little bit overtuned, okay? That's the answer to the question, straight up answer. Mm-hmm. I'll go fast talking mode, answer the question quickly here. Does too much stuff. There's this thing where, like, your team... You're dying the whole game, but, like, there's two people on your team who don't die, okay? Like, your Greninja and your Lucario are going to have a bunch of money. Maybe the rest of your teammates don't have any money left, okay? But when you kill Zapdos, everybody gets 20 money, and the money that the Greninja and the Lucario would have got drops on the floor because they're full. So now everybody has full money.
Right.
Not good.
Oh, wow. That's so true. Yeah. It does so many things.
I didn't even consider that. Yeah. See, like, small brains like us are just like, oh, instant goal's bad. But you're just like, oh, no, all these orbs are the reason why this is bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is a lot of free money.
It is a lot of free. It always feels like there's, like, any two of those things. VGC has the same kind of issue with its new mechanic, and I've said this many times. Any two of the things that Zapdos does, any two of the things that Dynamax does, would make it okay. If it stunned people and gave instant goals, but it didn't give any orbs for completion, fine. If it stunned everybody and gave orbs for completion, didn't give the instant goals, okay. The fact that it does all of those things is like, oh, that's a big objective, isn't it?
Yeah, you go from having, like, your team can feed the whole game.
Yeah.
And there's ways around that. I don't think Zapdos is like a big problem. But you go from, your team can feed the whole game and actually have no orbs left from dying so much. But then you kill Zapdos. Two of your guys still have money on your team. So now you have 20 from Zapdos. 40 money drops on the floor. And the lightning comes down. They kill your opponents. They had some money on them. Now you're all 50. Like, yeah. And it's just like, what's the point of even managing how many orbs you're carrying? If I think it's called AO Synergy, okay? But
yeah.
Either way... It almost feels irrelevant, right? If the guy with 5 money goes instantly, the money pops out of your Lucario and your Greninja and onto his head when you kill Zapdos, what difference did it make if he had no money? And yeah. That's one of the things that feels bad about Zapdos.
Mm. Interesting. All right. Last one is kind of a big one. The notion of pay to win in this game.
It's
how do you feel?
Overblown. I wanted to make a video about it, cool. But I don't have a video editor. Pokemon Unite is pay to win in the way that it's not. I guess, like, if you think buying the new league champion with money because you don't have gold when he's overtuned and stomping the game is pay to win, then yeah, it's pay to win, I guess. But I've won 13 out of 16 tournaments I've played with level 20 items, so.
Yeah. Okay. I very nice answer. I would agree with that. Kevin, how do you feel about that?
I think once you're at 20, that's, like, the most important.
Yeah.
Once you get to 20, that's
and
it.
That's not exactly hard to do.
Yeah, 20s are easy, for sure. I have two Smurf accounts that I spend no money on with, like, 4 or 5 level 20 items each. So
I will say, skill carries that. Skill carries that quite heavily. If you're a new player playing against other people who are of the same MMR, who have paid for those items, then it's a little bit difficult to go and climb ranks with equal skill. But, I mean... If you're a good player, that's what will carry you to high ranks, regardless of the level of your items.
I think this one's so important. I'm going to soapbox again for a minute. I think it's really irresponsible for Moist Critical and these people to make videos about the game being incredibly pay to win. Mm-hmm. If you're a casual gamer, you don't play competitive games, you should not make videos like that. There's a bunch of real people who worked hard on the game and, you know, they're developers. They deserve to have their game reviewed fairly. I mean, if you're a good person with a moral compass, you should think about what you're saying and think about if you have the capacity to judge whether or not a game is pay to win. They didn't act like you got small advantage from leveling up your items, okay? These YouTube content creators reviewed the game in a way that it made it seem like you're one-shotting someone when you level up your Wise Glasses, right? The math in the game simply doesn't work that way. Wise Glasses barely provide you any benefit past level 20, and they're almost useless even at level 20. They're only good on some characters because there's a spot for them, like, and there's not really a spot for anything else. They're good on Cramorant because he actually can't auto-attack. He throws really slow little poopy tornadoes that don't do anything, right?
Yeah.
I think it's really important that those people be more responsible in the future when they're reviewing games because, they affected people's livelihoods. A lot of people worked hard on Pokemon Unite, and it's kind of unfair to them. And I don't know. I think that's just not nice.
Not to mention the people who actually want the game to succeed and who have put in the hours to figure out if it actually is like they're saying or not.
Yeah, so many people I've talked to have told me the game's pay to win. If I thought the game was pay to win, I don't think I would have played 16 tournaments with level 20 wise glasses, would I? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Wow. All right. I respect that. Nice soapboxing. I do like that. All right. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us for the past 70 minutes on this. Oh my gosh. Goof, tell the people where they can find you.
Okay. Can I plug my teammates as well, Lord?
Plug everyone you want.
Okay. I'm twitch.tv/goofgg. My teammate, my Lucario player, is twitch.tv/Lutano. That's LUTANO. My tank player is twitch.tv/Zugrug. That's ZUGRUG. You might know that phrase from World of Warcraft. My support player is IndieBear, which is INDIE, and then bear, you know, like the animal.
Ah.
And my carry jungle player is Toon Slim. Like a cartoon that's not wide. He's Toon Slim on Twitch TV. We have Twitters as well, but you can find everything else from our Twitches. And all our Twitches are set up properly, so you can find our social media from there. You guys follow me on Twitter. Only my mom follows me, so every follow counts. And that's it.
Sweet for me. Deal. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Of course, you can check us out at pokesports.org or anywhere you find Pokesports, anywhere you find your podcasts, anywhere you find your YouTubes or your Twitches at Pokesports. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day, and we'll see you in the next one. Kevin, you got anything to say?
Good night.
Sweet. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys.